Morning, good day, good evening.
All the greetings in one.
Well, you don't know when someone's watching this, right? So,
hi there. We have an entrepreneur in the building, problem solver in studio. Oli.
What's good?
How you doing, sir?
Tops, tops.
Look at
tops.
My mic.
Sorry for keeping it informal, you know, like...
It's the way we do.
Am I Gen Z or what? I don't know. But yeah, I'm part of the Born Freeze, yeah.
You're the Born Freeze.
Nice. So when we were talking about the generational intern thing just now, I'm like, you're not too far off there. But
he's a founder. I wonder how he runs the interns in his firm.
Story for another time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a founder and a problem solver in studio. If you park your car and can't find where the car is or having problems locating your car, this man has a solution for you. If you parked your car at the mall and you don't have loose change to tip the car guard, this man has a solution for you. Oli Leqaba, car park and car payments. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How's it? It's car park payments.
Okay. Let's just get this one right. Who is car park and who's car park payments?
So I think it was in 2017. How old was I back then? Yeah, that's
12.
Yeah, I think it was 14.
So that's when I came up with the idea of building an app to help people locate their cars.
Okay.
I think that one, like, it's even till today, it's still in the app stores. Like, it would help you find your car if you forget where you parked your car.
Right.
In 2 weeks, I wrote the code, tested the app, like, okay.
In 2 weeks, you wrote the code?
Yeah, but it was like...
Before AI as well.
Before AI. It was an alpha version.
Nice.
Okay.
You know, it was still like an alpha version, riddled with bugs, you know, all that. And then uploaded the app on Google Play.
Yeah.
And I think within... It was on a Tuesday, 4 a.m. Mm. And on Friday, that's... Friday or Saturday, I got a call from a friend like, yo, your app is number one on Google Play. I'm like, oh,
whoa.
Goddamn. So, but I think I did that because back then I was still young.
Yeah.
I was still trying to learn, you know, with like the multiple ways of learning something. I didn't want a traditional job. So I chose to build something. And I think that was my way of creating a name for myself in this tiny industry of ours.
Yeah.
And fast forward, I don't know how many years later, car park payment comes into play. And car park payment is like if you've just parked your car in a shopping mall and then, you know, we always have car guards like everywhere you go in this country. Car guards do a lot. They even direct traffic because of load shedding.
Yeah.
So if you don't have any loose change, the app allows you to pay the car guard. Seems.
Although technically, you know, these days with inflation, it should be a note at least a 10 rand or something.
Right? I think that's exactly where the app comes into play.
Not a coin. Like,
you know,
not a coin.
Right. So how did you start the first app? What inspired Car Park?
I was with my grandmother and we were in a shopping mall.
Yeah.
And then it was time to look for the car. And then we stepped out of the shops, you know, like the exit.
Yeah.
And suddenly all the cars just look the same.
Oof.
Which floor were we on? You know, like all those kind of questions. Mm. And I had to look for the car.
So I can ask how that works then. So what, does it take a look, like snapshot location of where your car is? Or do you have to activate in some way? Like explain the mechanics of the app.
So what happened was you'd have to save the car's position before you exit the vehicle.
Okay.
And then when it's time to go back to your vehicle... You go back into the app and then you go to the saved location and then it would direct you back to the vehicle. Yeah, but there was a younger me then. Like,
it was a good idea.
I can imagine. Look, imagine you at Orlando Stadium watching the derby or Ellis Park.
Yeah, I think
rugby,
in those days.
Car, you can locate where you parked the
car. So say, for example, when you're in the shopping center, your car gets stolen. Does it still redirect you to where your car? Does it actually have a look? I suppose it wouldn't actually.
It wouldn't because it uses GPS.
Uses your phone's GPS.
Your phone's GPS. Yeah.
That would have been useful though.
Yeah. But you know,
your car is moving.
And also, I hated hardware back then. Like, okay. You know, I'd have to like have these devices and I just hated hardware. So I was like your typical software guy. You know, software guys, hardware guys, they hardly get along.
So with your CarGuard app, when I was thinking about it, I immediately was confronted by a number of logistical issues because you're dealing with money, you're dealing with banks, you're dealing with guys that may not have bank accounts, you're dealing with guys that may not even be South African. How do you think about that stuff?
So on the CarGuard side of things,
yeah,
because we literally go to every shopping mall and then we onboard them. So what we then do is, we always, if you do not have a bank account, we always ask you to install Google Wallet as well. And then we've got an API that connects.
You mean the CarGuard should do
that? Yeah, the CarGuard, yeah. We've got an API that connects our app to Google Wallet. Mm-hmm. So that, because with Google Wallet, all you need, like, it works with a whole lot of payment systems that work throughout the country. Mukuru and a bunch of others.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a solution for us with the bank account situation, especially with guys who come from other countries. It's actually easier for us to do that because we are always, let's say you've got how many car cars did they have at Spring Small? It was 50 of them.
At Spring Small,
yeah. So we got there, sat down, and onboarded them one by one and just gave them a walkthrough as to... All 50 of them. It's not in one day, of course.
Okay.
I presume some of them, there must be a bit of a tech hurdle for a lot of these guys in terms of, like, do they even necessarily have emails?
Some of them do not have emails. Some of them do not have emails, you know, and those who have emails, they've forgotten the passwords of their emails. Because if you've got an Android device, in order for you to be able to download apps on the App Store, you kind of need an email address. Right, so they'd be creating an email address from like the top of their heads just for that particular task, which kind of gives us an opportunity because we then create an email address for them specifically for this kind of operation. So we always add our name on those email addresses.
Ah, it's going to be like
johncarparkpayments@gmail.com.
Nice.
So, you know, So every time, now this guy has a new email address. And if he sends somebody an email for whatever, so it's like, hey, what's happening with car park? And then he's going to explain to them.
Sure. What a marketing strategy. So,
yeah, there's definitely mechanics in that because I'm a bit of a stickler for mechanics. I like mechanics.
Who's technical today?
I like the workflow of process of that an app provides, right? Yeah. So my question for you would be like, okay, the onboarding of individual by individual might be your breaking point from a building a business perspective, right? Or let me actually ask you what the business is first. Like, how do you make money from this?
Okay, so it splits. We start tipping from 20 rands. Car guy takes 12 rands. We take 8 rands for every transaction.
Yo, that's higher percentage than App Store. What do you mean? You're gonna take 40? What is that? 40%?
Well, it's more than half. They take more than half. So, yeah. And it's actually doing market research, it was like we asked them, so on like a typical driver, how much do they pay?
Right.
And they're like, if I'm lucky, they'll give me a 10 rands. And it can be so bad in situations that they can't even give you a 50 cents. Like,
it's the only this is
like all I have. But then if you are paying out of your... through an app from your bank account and you've got maybe 500 rands in your current account, it's like 20 rands is not much. That much to 500 rands. So that's another angle that...
Thank you.
That's a good plug. Nice one.
So that's the angle that we're looking at the whole thing from.
And I could imagine paying somebody, tapping maybe for like 10 bucks, which just wouldn't make sense.
Sorry, I think I've misunderstood something on that payment structure. So say, for example, if I give a car card 20 bucks and we do it via your app, you're saying you take 8 bucks out of the 20 bucks.
No, they take 12 rands. We take 8 bucks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot.
Right. It's a split, right? They split the revenues.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, how long have you been doing this?
We launched our first shopping mall in February.
Okay.
So no. It was in March. It was in March, beginning of March.
March this year?
Yeah, March this year.
I suppose, yeah, you've got some time then to assess a little bit and see the pickup and massage the model a little bit. So
another thing that we've learned is, because it's actually a two-part process,
mm-hmm.
For rolling out this app. At first, you need to talk to sensor management. Like, okay, we've got this product, and we'd like your car guards to try it out.
Mm.
And if that works out, you're good. You roll out.
Oh, so you have a verification process. So you don't just onboard any car guards. They have to be affiliated with like a mall or something.
Not exactly.
Okay.
But the reason why we talk to sensor management is because you can't just rock up to someone's parking space and start distributing your app. There's like a structure in all these shopping malls.
Mm.
You'll fill up a form, like, okay, on this particular day, we're going to be here.
I would suggest you could definitely circumnavigate that. But I appreciate that you're trying to shoot straight with it. You know what I mean? I would say it's not actually necessary.
It's not. I mean, you know, you 100%, yeah. It's not. Let me tell you what happened. Force Laura's Chris Honey Mall, your typical township shopping mall, right? And we get there, they're like, okay, sensor management, that side. We talk to them, they give us a form to fill in. The moment we handed in that form, the moment they saw that we were working with car guards, the interest just went like, phew.
Oh.
So, and then we went back to the guys on the ground, like, okay, guys, they've got like a foreman of some sort.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, let me tell you something. You can talk to sensor management, but if you can, because you're trying to follow a certain structure, if you can, just, these are like consenting adults.
Yeah.
Just get here in the mornings before they start their days. They talk amongst each other. So like, just get here in the mornings, talk to these guys, ask them if they're interested in your product, and do your thing.
But this is the question I had, though, about going through center management. I'm just, as this particular example, I mean, there's car guards everywhere. But, I mean, those car guards themselves are not necessarily stamped and approved by the center management. So it's, I didn't really get the connection. I mean, I appreciate that you're...
Are they not?
No, of course.
Well, it's
I can rock up to a mall and be a car guard.
No,
depends on the center.
It depends on the kind of shopping mall. For example, right. Springs Mall versus Chris Honey Mall.
Right.
Chris Honey Mall, it was laid back, you know. But Springs Mall, it was more formal.
Okay.
The security company that's responsible for Springs Mall is also responsible for the car guards.
At least maintaining order to some respect.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So okay. It's very important to talk to the people first so that you know the kind of structure.
No, I get it. It is the right thing to do.
Yeah, you don't want to get kicked out as well. Like,
stop
operating your app. You didn't talk to us. What is this? You're like a vendor. You know, like, what is this?
Fair enough. Yeah.
That's an interesting one, though.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, I think about car guards a lot because I've always confronted by car guards. And the issue with car guards is, like, there's a valid means of earning money.
Yeah.
In the sense that they're not necessarily providing a service. A lot of the time, they're there because they're hustling for cash, which is fine. I get that. And if they're just there and they're kind of standing there all day in the sun, yeah, sure, you give them some cash, but they're just doing what they're trying to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's always that gap of validation in terms of they're not responsible for your car. They're not responsible for paying rent to where they're at. The economics of a car guard are different than normal.
Yeah, security.
No, I don't mean security, just normal means of operating a business.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like your app, in my regard, almost has a... There's a step of validation there, which is nice. So for someone that hates paying car guards, if you see a car guard with almost like with a clean bib that's provided via the center or something like that, even though they're not getting paid via the center, they're kind of authorized to be there in some regard. There's check and balance with the security of the center. So there's almost like there's a step of validation there. And if they've got a QR code saying pay me here, it also provides almost another step of validation to say, look, I'll be very interested in chat to you like a few months time to see like, okay, how's this been picked up? How's it working for the car guards? Are they finding they're making more cash? Because in terms of paying a car guard, if you're seeing that these steps of validation, you know what I mean by that, in terms of like they're almost the steps of approval or right. their space, there's some sort of checks and balances to them being there. It enables a sense of responsibility. It enables a sense of, okay, I'm happy to pay this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if you were thinking about that kind of stuff with your app or no.
Definitely. But also, as to how to approach the whole thing, we had to be really careful because, as you said, they do not have any formal contract with the shopping malls.
Right.
That also plays against them and me as well to a certain degree, because if they do not have a formal contract and then center management is not happy with this app being used here, they can easily just be let go and nothing's going to happen to anyone. You can't even take them to the CCMA.
But does it matter if they don't like the app being used? Like, I don't really understand. What's it to center management whether they're using an app or not?
It's sometimes it's just people being people.
Because if you think about it, it makes the car guard more efficient. You can see who was here, who's not here.
Yeah, there's traceability to some extent.
Accountability as well.
It's people just being people sometimes.
Assholes.
Exactly, assholes. So we're just being people, you know. And we actually went through something similar, close to what we're talking about.
Okay.
In one of the shopping malls. Okay, that guy is now, I haven't heard from him in a very long time. He was like, I think he misunderstood the product because he thought car guards would be carrying physical devices.
That's what I initially thought, though.
The QR codes are attached on their reflectors.
That, Right.
So he thought they'd be carrying physical machines, and that did not sit well with him. And he was like, I'm not interested.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When somebody subscribes to the app, are you giving them a reflector with a QR code?
The car guards.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we rock up there. We print our own. Yeah, something like that. We print the... So, like I said, if there are 50 car guards at Springs Mall,
right.
These guys will sign up. And then as they sign up, the QR code gets generated via the app.
Sure.
And then we just send me this QR code as a PDF format, your name, your surname. And we then print out the QR code and then we give it to the car guards.
Then they can print it wherever they want to print it.
I have so many questions. So let me roll back a little bit in terms of how you're building this out. So you have an interest now, due to your high percentage of what you take of the taking.
This man has a problem.
No, it's fine. But my point is, how to scale that up though? Your work to actually scale that up is quite a lot. If you've got to physically go there and chat to individual by individual by individual, your scalability is a little bit limited there. You could keep on going day to day and you could eventually build at some scale. But my point is the work involved to actually scale out the number of guys using your app. It's quite a lot. So that's question number one. Do you have any plans in the future to make that a little bit easier so you don't have to physically go and speak to individual by individual? And the second one would be I'm less concerned about what we're just talking about in terms of that particular car guard or a particular car guard having some relation to a mall. I mean, ideally, that car guard, then, if he works at two places, he can just go to the second place with the same QR code. It doesn't matter. I would like to see this be in a space where, wherever you find guys, they're just like, this is an easier way to pay me. Boom, they're on your app. They've got emails. For me, that's I would rather see that around on the streets of the city, guys in a QR code, because they're kind of plugged into a system in some way.
Yeah.
You're looking at me with you're not quite.
No, I get you. I get you. So with the question about scaling up, because we're still in the beginning,
right?
It's quite viable for us to do it the way we've been doing.
Sure.
But we're also looking at kind of automating the whole onboarding process, and that's so hard because even if you look at two-part way apps that have existed way before us, look at the likes of Uber, for example. When they onboard you as a driver, you physically have to be there at the green light hub.
Yeah.
You know? So we're also looking at it that way. If these guys are going on about it this way, could it be that for these kind of products, that's the way of doing it? Is there a better way of doing it? For example, we can just put up an advert on a billboard ad on near some shopping mall, and Kakad see this app, they download the app for themselves. Could we do something like that? That's something we've been talking about.
Yeah.
You know. Or even if like you're in the parking lot, you're a car guard, your buddies are car guards, you're on the app and your buddies aren't, it should be an easy way to say, hey, look, you can join this app, you need an email, whatever your steps are. Here's a QR code on their phone or whatever. You know, there's a means to do it. Because they may not all have phones, they might not all have email addresses. Should be a way for like, oh, I'm on the app, I know how it works. Here, let me get you onboarded.
But
it should be as easy as WhatsApp. How many people have WhatsApp, right?
Yeah.
Most everyone has WhatsApp, and people that have WhatsApp are having phones, are having Android phones with email addresses.
Yeah,
this definitely wouldn't be any different.
You're concerned about these questions, I think.
No, not even. Like, I love questions.
Right.
You know, you can ask me questions about tech. I'm always willing to answer those questions. But then if you were to ask me questions about celebrities... I'm focused. The concerned face is...
You're zoned in. This man is locked in.
The source of my questions is really just because I'm always thinking about, okay, cool. I think it's a cool idea. It's just how you think about scale and how does this roll out really? Because you want to almost be in a space where, oh, great idea, now it kind of rolls out naturally on its own.
Exactly.
Yeah, but suddenly there's like thousands of dudes.
If you look at it now, I think that's...
And 40% of what everyone makes, which is...
Exactly.
What's wrong with you in this 40%?
No, and you know, like, that's... From consumer perspective.
Yeah.
You are the first person who's... First consumer who's worried about the 40%.
No, but it scales up, right? Like, now it may not be a lot. But if you're in a space where now there's thousands of car guards across the country using your app, and they're making $100, $150, maybe $200 a day... At some point, they're going to be like, the fuck am I giving away 40% of what I'm earning for? Mm. And because it doesn't cost you anything to, once they're on board, it doesn't really cost you anything. So at some point, someone's going to say, 40% is a lot, dude.
Okay, like, if like 40% is a lot.
Hopefully
then...
it's after you've made millions. But okay. I mean,
question is, how much were you, I think we can, we, our plan is to evaluate everything at the end of Q2.
Mm.
So, somebody says, 40% is everything. Question is, okay, bro, how much were you making before our 40%? That's the question. If you feel like you can make more money off the app, we are willing to use
and
you.
And I doubt they could.
We are willing to use you as a subject of learning.
Right.
For that.
I say these things in all fairness, knowing that you're in assessment period and figuring it out and how it rolls out. It's interesting to think about how that scales up. I mean, you could potentially make, if this works, you could potentially make loads of cash, which is good, not a bad thing.
I mean, I'm even thinking of investing.
Yeah, give me the money.
Hey man, I'll sell. Yeah, I'll give sell me the him. Money.
That's another topic. Hey,
right. And how have you been funding the businesses from the car park one to car park payments?
I think with
how
like
have you been doing it?
The first app, car park, it was getting a lot of traction, you know.
Is it?
And back for those days, people would get funded for some ridiculous ideas, you know.
Yeah.
I was lucky that a gentleman called Suraj, bless that man.
Suraj.
Yeah, Suraj. He was all the way in... Was he in Mumbai or Boston? But I know that his company is based in Boston.
Yeah.
And he was like, I saw your app. And we've got an accelerator program running in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And if you work with us, we make an investment in your app, both cash and like, you know, as part of being your advisors to your company.
Yeah.
And that's how Car Park, the car finding app, was actually funded. And then like I joined a whole lot of incubator programs, which is something that we can also talk about.
Right.
My experiences being part of incubators. And then with this particular Car Park payments, we were like, okay, we've done this thing. We've spoken to the relevant stakeholders.
Yeah.
How exactly do we get the money for this? Because people need to be paid.
Right.
Office space needs to be paid for hosting AWS. Oh, God damn it, Bezos.
Yeah.
You know, like those kind of overheads.
Every instance is a charge.
Exactly. So I was like, I always get people and businesses who want to build something.
Mm.
What? And I've always turned them down. Like, no.
Oh.
I'm good.
You turned down money?
No, like, the thing is, the money comes with, like, hard labor.
Yeah.
And,
you got to assess your time.
Exactly. Right? You need to split your time. You know, something
you
like...
You just say no to money?
But...
if it takes you off the off
if
path,
if it takes you
on,
off
yeah.
path, you know, you got to... You have to say no to certain
you
things.
You don't create path for that money. You say no, it's not on my
but
path.
You're going to... You know, like, there was a time... There was a time when I was working two jobs.
Yeah.
My own app, and then I was also a software developer for a New York-based company. That was a brilliant experience, but it was taxing mentally, physically, you know.
Yeah.
So, but then now that we had this particular idea to work on, and I've always had these people come to me, now it was a time to go back and say, hey, let's do this. And
interesting.
And you can only do that because you spent the time working on it.
Exactly.
This is when you mentioned
don't leave money on the table.
This is why when you mentioned earlier today, you said, you're trying to avoid a normal job. And I was like, that's exactly the space I'm in at the moment. I'm trying to avoid getting a normal job because that's stuff I want to focus on.
You know,
I know. You know, I've got grays, man. I've been around the mill. You know? I've been around the block a few times, and like I know, despite all the stuff I want to do on my personal side of things, whenever I take on a job, that always falls away. Because you have to, as soon as you start a job, you feel
that
the
just
need to
seems
be good
like
at
you
your
two
job.
Are not managing your time very well. Rather
not
sleep
even.
At 3 o'clock
no,
in the
do,
morning,
you
man.
Keep
work.
Doing the stuff, but it's like you at some point you keep distracting because your job becomes your primary source of income.
Exactly, focus. It
becomes your focus point, but it's also when you're in a position, you have to be good at that position. You can't just go and take the piss at a job.
It's not just about doing the job. I believe that if you need to do something, you need to do it extremely well.
Yeah, within the given time frame, right?
So if my focus is split between, you know, running a business is crazy. Running a business is absolutely crazy. So if I'm going to take on something else, I need to be able to do this with my eyes closed. Unfortunately, you can't build software with your eyes closed, you know.
There's
so,
ChatGPT.
I feel like it's oversimplified. You
true,
know?
True,
it's
oversimplified. True, true.
ChatGPT is very useful, but in
if
the software industry,
doing, yes,
if you know what you do, but we oversimply it in the software industry.
All right, my follow up to that was to try and get to understanding what your funding model has been for the longest of time. It sounds like an investor approached you, not the other way around. Did you approach the guy in the what did you call him?
In Boston.
Yeah. Did you approach him or did he approach you?
He approached me. But, you know, the thing is, I was way younger back then. Didn't have a lot of bills.
Yeah.
You know, if I could, I could do just about anything on the side. He approached me and that worked. Unfortunately,
that's great. Yeah,
times changed. The global economy was in a different position back then.
Yeah.
People had ridiculous amounts of money to spend on things that they believed in. Now, things have changed. You know, there isn't a lot of money.
There's Trump at the helm. So
exactly. There isn't a lot of money floating around. And
after him, how did you fund the business?
Do you pitch for funding?
I've pitched for funding. We've pitched for funding, and then we've won here and there with funding, and then I'd say out of 10 we've won twice. And also being young allows you to filter the kind of funding that comes your way, you know, because you don't necessarily just I need the money now, I've got a baby to feed, I've got, you know, I've got this and that to take care of. So for a very long time, as an entrepreneur, I was not driven by getting funding. I like building things that allow me to sell something. With the car parking app, it was getting a lot of traction and the adverts were doing quite well for it.
Oh.
So to a certain degree, it could self-sustain, which is the same approach I'm trying to take with this one. Because when we realized that, okay, we're going to need X amount of money for starting up, I went back to the guys who approached me. And my favorite was this farm that is based in Pietermaritzburg. Oh, man, love those guys. They're like, okay, this is what you're trying to do in our farm. Can you build an app that does exactly this for us? And okay, how much are we talking? We agreed on the figures. I'm like, okay, we're almost there with the goal. We're not exactly there, but we can work with this. And built that app for them. They paid us the money. We funded our business. And because we're still starting up, obviously, you know, you want the right kind of funding that's going to allow you to make your mistakes and grow as you go along. You know, you don't want a loan shark kind of funding. And I also don't function well with tight deadlines because I like the freedom of creativity.
You know, you want to, you want to reflect, you know.
There's a hell of a price to pay for that. There's
absolutely
a hell of a price to pay for that.
You got
to
reflect, you know. You got to think about
what
you're doing.
You guys are so similar
bit.
In many ways.
Yeah, you
leave money on the table.
It's not, it's you know, when you're talking about the business,
Your sights on bigger money. That's the thing.
I once had a conversation with the CEO of Yoko, Gatla Mapai. And this was maybe like just before COVID.
Okay.
I was with Suraj when this happened. Shortly after my time with Suraj, after we met. And he was like, rather than take money from the wrong investor, close that business down. It's not worth it.
Mm.
At that time, 100%. I didn't...
Leaving money on the table, that's exactly what he's doing. And because he's got sights on a bigger picture and bigger money and a more and calmer demeanor. You don't want the wrong money on the table. That's kind of what you said.
Because it's like, if you ever take the wrong money, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to pay with, you might not pay financially, but you're going to pay with way more than that. I mean, I also like came to a conclusion that, okay, look at all these businesses that were properly funded, but somewhere down the line, they went burst.
Mm.
Mm. Well, guys, balance me here. What does taking the wrong money look like? So
this coming from a guy who lives in Hillbrow, yeah? You must know about these stories.
It's exactly the kind of story.
Come on, man.
It's exactly the kind of story. You know, I think it also.
This is business. This is a bit more formal than
it also
my neighbor
depends.
In Hillbrow. That's,
it also depends on how you look at money. You know, if you look at money as, okay, money allows me to build.
Right.
Your approach is going to be extremely different than someone who say, who looks at money. Money allows me to feed my family. Money allows me
to
buy
this
kind of stuff.
Yeah, but then you're not a business
car.
Person. You're looking for a loan to finance your personal life. I'm
exactly.
thinking, yes,
exactly.
you're a shady investor, but we have a contract here that says you're going to give me money to put the money in my business.
In my experience with contracts, doesn't always work. It's like it's more commission than it's worth.
But have you ever had to work with people that you don't like?
Yes.
That's hell, man.
Of course.
Exactly.
But because there's a goal at the end of this rubbish relationship, you stick it out.
But like, I need to be with you every single day of my life.
100%, but for a limited amount of time. After 2 years, it's done.
Do you know the amount of time you spend at work?
Yes.
Like, think about it. Like, you go there and you just want to like push this person over the cliff.
Let's move on from the money on the table.
Yeah, let's move on from the money on the table.
You mentioned, I read it somewhere, you made a news app. Which was that news app? I might be familiar with it, actually.
Oh, man. That,
you made Twitter before Twitter.
That was like way back in the day. I was in like grade 12.
Okay, I mean, you just built out like a platform for RSS feeds, essentially. So you just got like the feeds from.
Yeah.
I suppose this was before the days of all the news organizations going behind subwalls and things like that.
Yeah, that was way back in the day.
What inspired that?
I was a news addict myself as for a teenager. That was a bit weird. I was, you know, like when kids rush home to play PlayStation, like all that. I would rush home to watch E-News. It was E-News back then, not ENCA.
Yeah.
It was E-News, CNN, and what. But which other one? Yeah, but I was, I used to like, I enjoyed watching the news.
Wow.
So problem was.
Not cartoons.
And was it picked up? Was it used? What year are we talking about here?
We're talking 2013, 12.
Okay. That was the time for
It was a long time ago. Like the beginning of when like Android was still new in South Africa.
Was it picked up? Was it used out?
Not as much. Not the way I expected.
Okay.
It was used by people in my circle, people who knew me, and it kind of defeats the whole purpose.
But you still learned something from it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It was like a brilliant learning curve, you know, because it was those years when I was about to leave high school, coming to Joburg, from KZN, coming to Joburg.
Mm.
So I was so convinced that this is such a brilliant idea. It's going to make me billions. I'm about to be a billionaire, you know. Building that, I came to Joburg and, I went to so many media houses in the city. Like, You know, and I think that experience of literally kicking down the doors, like, I'll send you an email. You don't reply. I'll be in your offices the following day. That was you? That was me, yeah.
Damn.
That was me as a teenager. So I think that somehow taught me how to sell. You know, it taught me that, okay, out of 20 people, only two might be willing to listen.
Sure, yeah.
Mm.
And if I'm lucky, it's going to work out with the first one, and it might not work out with the other one.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think it built that spirit of persevering. I think that's the one thing that it did.
What were you hoping to achieve with it? What problem were you sort of solving with that particular?
So the magic was that it would, like, generate news articles via RSS feed, and then it would summarize them up until, like, 250 characters.
You just took the top
stories, yeah, the top, and then it would summarize
top
them.
Of the story. Yeah.
I battled with that because I was always rushing to school,
right,
when, like, it's time to read the news, and I don't have time to go through a million paragraphs.
Right, like,
so that's why I was like, okay, you know, I've got a lot of teenagers who can't concentrate that much when reading, right, articles. So it's just to give them an idea what the article is about, and then it covers, like, all the angles.
Mm.
That's
so it gave you the ability to, yeah, consume a lot of news.
I think it got messed up when I started adding, like, a bunch of features.
What features did you add?
Yeah. So, because usually it would be, like, business news.
Yeah.
So I was like, what if we built, like, a business chat room within the site? And, okay, what if we built a business chat? At first it would be, like, your normal chatting. Like,
right,
you know,
right,
people,
right,
are interested in the article. In, and then the, I was like, no.
You're just going to get spam, man.
Exactly.
You're going to get 95% of each.
And,
like,
you know,
what's
crazy was that I'd actually build these things. Oh. It would not just be ideas. I'd sit down and hard code them. And then I was like,
at that age, you could code.
Yeah, I could. And this was, like, I used to go to the library weekends, like, to get books on C++. C# for the back end.
Proper nerd credentials, eh?
I'm telling you.
I used to, like,
not bad.
Weekends, I'm off to the library.
Well done.
And so, yeah, that was being a nerd.
You found the one open library in Joburg. Nice one.
Oh, this started way back in KZN. There was just one library in my neighborhood.
Oh, you're in Newcastle.
I was in Newcastle. There was... Ah, damn, you did your research. You know, that was in Newcastle. So there was one library in town. And
in Newcastle, one library?
Yeah, in town. Just one library. And then, like, I'd go there... Luckily, people didn't like reading back then, so you wouldn't find it wouldn't be crowded unless if there's an assignment that is due on Monday for a certain particular school, then all the kids are there for that weekend.
So you said a few things in this conversation about perseverance. Kind of, you started quite young, you're doing your things. What would be your viewpoint in terms of, you take your immediate surroundings and the guys that are around you or the individuals that are around you wanting to be in the space, wanting to build apps, wanting to thinking there's like... There's revenue there. There's businesses to be built there. What's your general viewpoint of the culture around you? Is there energy? Is there not energy? Are people struggling? Are they not struggling in your tech building space?
So I've surrounded myself with even people who are not in the tech space.
Mm.
So it differs on where exactly do I go, and as the time goes on. When I started in Newcastle back then, I was the only guy who spoke about coding, you know.
Sure.
And the energy would be negative around that, obviously. Yeah. Like, why would you do that to yourself? You know, that kind of thing. And but as we grew older and we did the work and then we got the recognition, the attitude started changing. I mean, I'd be... going to some local supermarket to buy an energy drink, and some drunk guy would just rock up to me and start talking about an app idea that he has. So, you know, I think that's a positive shift.
Right.
You know, it means people are learning. People can see that, okay, it's actually possible to do this thing. So I think in terms of the energy around me, I can't complain about that. Yeah. You know, even
people are generally receptive of the technology.
Now they are, yeah. Okay. Now they are. Okay. I think I made it through because when you are a child, you always think you are right and they are wrong.
Mm.
And that was me. Like, I'm right, tech the way you guys suck, you don't know anything. Like, you know, that was my attitude back then. It kind of worked because it gave me the energy to go on. But as I get older, I'm getting a more positive reception from even people who are not in the tech industry. I've got a friend of mine. Oh, by the way, I studied a BCom law and majored in accounting and business management.
What?
Yep. I had a friend of mine who we were in the same class.
Yeah.
And the following year, he was like, all right, man, I'm going into tech. I'm dropping this law thing. And today, he works for one of the biggest insurance companies in their tech department. So I think, and I always tell him that, Ashley, you need to give me a share of your salary. I inspired you to do this.
It wasn't for me, you didn't have that job.
Exactly.
Ashley, you had it.
Sure. Yeah. Which camera must I talk to?
That one.
Ashley, ngifuna imali yami. You owe me. Like, that salary you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll leave it there for now.
Should have had a contract.
How did you switch, though, from BCom law to tech?
So, I think BCom law was more of security. Like, my parents were like, okay, he's starting something that... My heart has always been in tech. So, I think that one was for the parents, the tech was for me. And throughout, I know, like, tech has always been there. I can't recall a time in my adult life when I was not doing anything in tech. You know, so, yeah. And also, BCom law was, like, something new, you know. I was, like, because we had law modules, stuff that I knew nothing about. So, it was something for me to, something new to conquer. Like, was learning new terms, the Narcissus fiction. And you know, like seven elements of like a crime, like
of a crime.
Like, is it seven or more than that? But like the kind of things that you need to tick if you want to convict a criminal, those kind of things. So, so it was something new to learn about. It was always like keeping me on my toes. Like, wow, okay, this is. But I couldn't see myself living that life.
Interesting.
I think you made the right choice.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's next for you? I mean, what period are you giving yourself with this new app with the car guards? Like, are you saying, okay, we're going to give it the year and suss it out? Or is there something else you're already working on? What's next for you? What's going on?
It's very hard for me to attach time to anything that I do because time has a brain of its own. I might say,
I don't know, the time at the end of the month, the time the bills come, it's pretty standard for me. I get
but
your point,
I'm like, you know, I might say we're gonna give this business 2 years to see how well it does, and in the 2 years we might do so well that, you know, it's something that we felt like we could have achieved in 5 years. Whereas we might do so bad in a way that we feel like quitting, but not knowing that in the third year, that's when things will start picking up. So I always just let...
Oh, you don't... Yeah, you can know that now.
Yeah, I always just let... And that has been like my approach since I turned 20 to just, you know, time, let time do its thing. Time is a decider on its own. Just put in the work and let time do its thing.
This is my personal opinion, so bear with me. But if you're... This Car Guard app, if you eased up the onboarding, if you made it as easy as possible for an individual to onboard themselves into this app as a car guard, this is their hustle, this is what they're doing, not even just outside of the app, the mechanics of the app. If you fix the onboarding, it'll make it easier. I find your scalability will suddenly start ballooning a little bit because I don't think there's a current, I could be wrong, I don't think there's a current something out there that does enable these kind of payments. I know guys do sometimes walk around with their card machines. But they've done that themselves, right? They've done that themselves. They've got a bank account and so on and so forth. They've gone through those hoops and balances. But if you, in this particular space, it does, for some reason, psychologically, for me paying a car guard, psychologically, if I'm paying them via an app and I'm saying, I'm scanning their code and I'm saying, and I'm monitoring, seeing the process of them being legitimized in a way. A payment for that particular service, regardless of whether you see that as a service or not, or whatever the mechanics of that ecosystem go. I think psychologically, I prefer that You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, not because, you know, I don't want to give them cash. It's just because, you know, often I don't really have cash. But besides that, it's like you're within an ecosystem that's traceable, and there's a payment being made digitally. There's a psychological hurdle there that just legitimizes to an extent the service they're providing. That's just my particular viewpoint on it. But I think there's a scalability there. So it will work for the CarGuard, this particular app, but it also would work, in my view, in the general relationship between a car guard and the car parker. Like there's a relationship there that could be smoothed a little bit better. And that's why I'm thinking there's scalability.
Okay. Yeah, I think thank you for giving me that. It's something to definitely
philosophical approach, you know.
And just to piggyback off of that, imagine if I could park again. Perhaps the question should be, what other problems are you solving for the car park guys? Generally, if I park a car, if somebody helps me or sees me park a car, right, they will come and try help me park my car so that I notice them, so that I know that they are watching my car. When I come back, they expect something.
Mm.
Now, what tends to happen is you park your car, you see this guy see you, he sees you see him. You go out. When you come back, there's a different guy. Because perhaps in this parking bay, there's like four guys who are parking cars. Mm. Now, they tend to fight over the car. Is there a way within the app where you could go, this car guard is on my car, so when I come back, I know who I'm tipping?
To be honest with you, we haven't really thought that much.
Yeah.
Because what happens now is the moment you scan the QR code, it's like something pops up, and then because you're in conversation with the car guard, they verify their name and, okay, this is me. And then that's how you make sure that the payment is going to the right person.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, it's in terms of knowing if this is the car guard who washed my car, it's kind of tricky because this is a transaction. This is like the last thing you do before you exit the shopping mall. So I think that's where the challenge lies. Because this transaction is it's literally the last thing that happens. Like, it's the last interaction you're going to have with the shopping mall infrastructure.
Right.
So that's also something to consider. I like that you guys are coming up with like suggestions. That hardly happens. And, like, when you do a radio interview, it's like, oh, what? Really? And then we move on to the next question.
Yeah, I mean, to his question about scalability, you're thinking, you're creating convenience for the guy that parks the car to be able to pay the car guard, right? And in a way, you're also creating convenience for the car guard to collect the money. But what other issues are you then going to solve for the car guard guy? Or for me, as I park the car, the question then becomes, what issues are there for me parking a car? Chances are there isn't much, just security, which the mall possibly takes care of, but for the car guard, what other challenges are they facing there in the parking lot on their daily basis? So much so, if you solve those, add them on the app, it's now more than just me being able to receive money, but now there are a number of problems that this thing solves for me. If I'm from Zimbabwe and this thing is integrated with Muguru, can I send money home?
Oh, nice.
Okay. Those are really
stage two.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like,
I'm just saying, right? In terms of scalability, there are a number of possible things.
I'm glad that
things.
It's taking this approach, and I think as entrepreneurs, something that we struggle with, and we've touched on this, is you need to be clear on the problem that you are solving,
right?
And the quickest way to fail is to solve a dozen problems right in the beginning.
Yes.
You know, because people always look at, I'm going to give you an example, like Facebook.
Yeah.
Are they called Meta now? What are they called?
Yeah, it's Meta now.
It's like...
For a while.
Yeah, until it changes to something better.
So for them, when you look at a product like that, if you're looking at it with 2025 eyes, you'll be like, oh, these guys are doing so much. If there are natural disasters wherever you are, you can mark yourself safe and your friends and relatives, you know, they will know that you're safe.
Yeah.
You can check in at AMPD studios. I mean, in the beginning, it was a completely different platform. Their core mission was to focus on connecting people.
Yeah.
So I think
Now it has a marketplace.
Exactly. Now it has a marketplace as well. See, I feel like I love ideas, you know. And yeah. I always say it's going back and working on ideas. It's like the kind of loyalty that you have on yourself and your business. But it's also important in the beginning stages to make sure that you're focusing on a problem. You've got a problem that you're focusing on.
Yeah.
And that particular problem. And you get paid to solve that problem. So, like, yeah, I love the ideas. And right. I always, even with this particular car park payments, it came from way back, like, the car finding app days. People would make a whole lot of suggestions that, you know, you can do this, you can do that. And to prove that I actually live by that, today I'm doing something that was suggested.
Nice.
Way back in the day.
So is this a fintech kind of technology, or is it just a normal payment
gateway? It's categorized as fintech. Yeah. And, you know, I always said that I'd like to play in the ed tech space or the fintech space later in my life. And so I think at the moment you can say fintech has won. But I still find
you're one foot in.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I know a whole lot of cool ed tech companies, you know, and they're doing some brilliant work. Even with fintech as well, I think I also have a particular interest in fintech, which makes it easy for me to love what I do, to wake up every morning and say, okay, let's build this thing.
Yeah. And what regulations and red tapes do you have to go through in making sure that your fintech company is scalable and primarily it succeeds, from FICA to anti-money laundering regulations and rules?
Number one, with like the modern technologies, something that I really love about them, they've tried so hard to eliminate the red tape that was there in freaking 1999, because some guy in the street can just build a payments app and distribute it. You know, I think it becomes more complex when you start.
In other words, he's saying he hasn't done the paperwork yet. He's just.
I think it becomes more complex when you start with like your traditional trading apps. But we are currently experiencing some red tapes. Right now because we're not compliant with like the App Store's privacy policy. And they
tied to Poppy or tied to
what? Payments.
Or to payments.
Payments. Okay. So I think, and in a way, as much as it's such a tedious process, I'm glad that it's happening this way. Because they want to make sure that the user's data is safe.
Yeah.
No one is snooping in the
open. Right, like, no money laundering and all of that stuff.
So the downside of it is that they are so serious. If you are not compliant, they're going to take down your app until you comply.
That's why I couldn't find his app this morning.
Exactly.
Oh.
So
like, when did they take it down?
On today is Monday. Took it down on Thursday.
Oof.
So like it's you always have to comply. And this is not an unfamiliar problem. I went through it when I was trying to update the car finding app, like way back in the day. But that was a minor issue. This time it's more serious. And literally every day I'd be sending something, and then they're like,
Wait, you said you're uploading my client tomorrow. You're onboarding a client, sorry, tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
How are you gonna get around that?
Nah, we have to sort it out tonight. There's no other way. So as I'm sitting here right now, I'm waiting for a response that was last night's upload
successful. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's indicated we only have a few minutes, but I have another philosophical point I want to share very quickly. So with this car guard app. So the problem it's solving for me is not the payments and so forth. I think you've got a handle on that. But the interesting part for me is because, one, I think about car guards a lot for some reason. But I think about it because the mechanics of how that works, it's not legitimized. So in the sense that particular car guard, for example, he's not renting that space. He's not running. It's not essentially a mechanic of a normal business would thing. If he's going to be sitting there, there's no accountability. He's not responsible for your car effectively, right? If your car gets stolen, it's like, it's not his fault.
Right.
It's not his problem. He's not accountable for it. Even though as an individual, he may feel accountable to it and do his job properly. But my point is, it's not technically a job.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't fall into ecosystem of that. There's not those checks and balances that a job, quote unquote, comes with. So my feeling would be like, okay, if the scalability is there. And this is why it's so important to me thinking about the legitimacy of an app or being registered in some way. Even though it's not technically registered as a location, as a job, you're still registered as an email, as an ecosystem. And that's what I think where the psychologically, for the car parker, there's still that tick of legitimacy. So, I mean, ideally you want to be in a space where, fine, the car guard's making X amount, you're taking X amount. There may be a layer on top of that, stage three, stage four, yeah, whereby the location, whether it's a particular mall or something like that, you want to legitimize it in a way that individual now is paying to be there, whether it's even it's like 1-2%, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Paying it to the location, again, that further enables the legitimacy of them doing a job there because they're actually investing into that, them building a business with that. So there's sort of layers of legitimacy that could be enabled by an app like this.
I mean, it's an informal sector, right?
Yeah. That's what I was about to say.
This is a way to formalize that sector.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. I mean, I think this is what actually makes me wake up every morning and go to work, because, you know, like, you're playing in this informal sector and, like, so many of these people are untraceable in any of our systems, and it feels rewarding to be the guy who's actually made it his life
you're
mission
helping people
to do that.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out of the project 2 years down the line.
All right, call me back in
it's
2 years.
It's not too late to invest, eh?
He doesn't want funding money.
Do you mean I don't want funding money? I said I want the right kind of funding. Do you have the right kind of funding?
We're bad money.
Oh, yeah. If you're like bad money,
the wrong
then
money.
I'm gone.
You know? So if I'm the good money,
let's
I'm
talk.
Coming.
As soon as the cameras go off,
yeah,
talk to me. I'm always up for good money.
But thanks, man. That was a good chat. Thanks for coming in. I enjoyed talking about it. Yeah, it
right. Thanks for having
any,
me.
Any parting shots to any aspiring developers, guys who want to get into the space, what they need to know, how they need to move around?
You know, as I get older, I struggle with that question.
Ah.
I'm like, guys,
just do your work.
If you feel like waking up, wake up. If you don't feel like it, don't wake up. Ooh. I'm kidding.
Damn.
I'm kidding. Like, I feel like you always graduate at whatever it is that you do.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that you think is worth it, go on and give it your all. Eventually, you graduate. You might not succeed in that particular project, but you'll never know who you're going to meet because of what you're doing. So, like, yeah, my parting shot, go on, guys. Just go on.
And by tomorrow, we'll have the link to the app and you can leave it in the descriptions below for people to download.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Faber.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. That's been the Angle Podcast. We'll leave the details to the car parking app in the descriptions below. Please tip the car guards. There is now a better way to do so. Thanks for tuning in.
See ya.